Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin in Kampala, Uganda's capital, where a young female athlete is getting her kicks in a male-dominated sport. 26-year-old Ugandan kickboxer Patricia Apalot is inspiring women to engage in sports and winning national, African, and world titles. And Patricia hungers for more success. Reporter Megumi Davis Rakawinge tells us more about the reigning World Kickboxing Federation lightweight champion.
Apalot punches the boxing bag at HBT Gym in Kampala with a pair of a lioness. As her coach, Richardson Kigozi, commonly known as Amigo, shouts instructions at her. Coach Amigo tells her she has to keep doing that if she's to keep in fine form and keep winning. The dark, beautiful, athletic Apalot, also known as Black Pearl, says she tried other sports disciplines like football, athletics, boxing, cycling and taekwondo before she settled for kickboxing in 2009. Just 2 years after she started training, she fought her first semi-professional fight in 2011 and lost the match. She was not discouraged. 2 years later, she won her first national belt. She says, although she was excited, she wasn't overtaken by the win.
I saw that the journey I was heading is not going to be an easy journey and I'll be having a lot of challenges, but at the same time, it was like having a bit of a honey in my mouth. So the more you keep taking it, the more it is sweeter. The more you're in power, the more you feel like you don't want to give it out. So my first experience was like, this is the right way, and I don't want to lose this chair or this throne to anyone else.
And indeed, she has gone on as the undisputed queen of kickboxing, winning 16 professional fights, among them 6 knockouts. With a few women in kickboxing, Apalot does pairing with men and trains alongside her male kickboxing counterparts. She says although challenging, it can be beneficial to her when she steps into the ring.
If you do training mostly with men, they're more powerful, they're more strong, they're more fast. It is of a more advantage towards me because I find that the power of men is more, okay, like 10 times more heavier than that of women. So by the time I go and face girls, I find that it's much easier for me to just have a walk away with them.
22-year-old Binta Kiinji, who also trains in this gym, says she's inspired to take on this game, mostly dominated by men, because of what she has seen from Apalot.
I've attended some of her fights, but I see women are enjoying her. She's famous. People enjoy her fights. That's why I admire her.
Coach Richardson Kigozi, Amigo, says Apalot oozes with confidence and disciplined, attributes that bring her success.
She's a celeb now, she's a superstar. I treasure her to be, because she's a disciplined, Patricia is doing what I feel like it can as well bring many other fighter ladies, mostly from Africa or Uganda or even the whole world.
But Apalot says the government has to invest in sports if her dream of seeing many other women join the sport is to become a reality.
The government first has to come in to give a hand, then you'll see millions of talent coming in. Even by overnight, you'll see a lot of women lining up to become, even who are going to be bigger than me. But as long as there's no help in this sport, trust me, by even the following morning, you'll wake up and see even Apalot as if it's no more.
Apalot's next fight will be next month, December 9th, in a non-title fight in her hometown of Soroti, where the proceeds will be used to buy medicines for patients in a local hospital. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Gume, Davis Rakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Ray, and keep counting them down. And thanks to reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj in Kampala for that spicy feature on World Kickboxing Federation lightweight champion Patricia Apalot. The Black Pearl Apalot fights in the lightweight class for female kickboxers who weigh 60 kilograms or 132 pounds. Here's a sunny side of sports salute to the Socceroos of Australia, the latest team to qualify for next year's World Cup football tournament in Russia. The Socceroos booked their World Cup ticket Wednesday when they beat visiting Honduras 3-1 in Sydney to win the two-leg intercontinental playoff by that same margin. Socceroos captain Miles Jedinak was the hat-trick hero on Wednesday. The 33-year-old Aston Villa man scored all three Australian goals in the second half, including two penalty kicks, before Honduras got a late goal from Maynor Figueroa. Australia has now qualified for four consecutive World Cups and five times overall. Their best showing came at Germany 2006, where they reached the round of 16. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, Denmark qualified for next year's World Cup by thumping host Ireland 5-1 in Dublin. And speaking of hat-trick heroes, Denmark had one on Tuesday, Christian Eriksen. The 25-year-old Tottenham Hotspur man found the net in the 32nd, the 63rd, and the 74th minutes for the Danes, who qualified for their fifth World Cup. Denmark's best World Cup showing came at France 98, where they reached the quarterfinals. The 32nd and final World Cup berth will be decided later Wednesday evening in Lima, where Peru will host New Zealand. The teams played to a scoreless draw last week in Wellington, New Zealand. New Zealand's head coach is Anthony Hudson.
The team's used to this situation. 4 years ago in Mexico, opening game against Confederations Cup Russia, away to Mexico, away to Japan. Like, this team is used to difficult situations. In fact, I would say we're probably more suited and more resilient away from home than we are at home, because we're not used to playing at home.
New Zealand's head coach, Anthony Hudson, also spoke to reporters in Spanish in Lima. In the English translation, Hudson said, and I quote, "Everyone knows Peru is the favorite. You can easily understand it. And we know that if Peru loses, it will be a national disaster. And we don't have that pressure." I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten our way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back to Toasty Studio 22. Bit chilly out there today, Andrew.
It is. They finally turned on the heat for us, which is nice. It is quite pleasant in here and quite brisk outside in the fall air in Washington, D.C.
No snow yet in Washington, but who knows? It could be right around the corner.
And they're calling for a lot of snow, so we'll see if it happens. But today, sunny skies outside and sunny here in Studio 22 as well.
Well, what's trending out there in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, today we have a bunch of big names in sports that we're going to talk about. Some well-known to our listeners, some less so, but all are trending today. And we start with three names in particular, LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jaden Hill. Now, those are the three players on the University of California at Los Angeles college basketball team, UCLA, who were accused last week of shoplifting while they were with their team in China, set to kick off the college basketball season in a game against Georgia Tech. We had mentioned that LiAngelo Ball, one of a trio of brothers well-known in the basketball world for their play and for their outspoken father, LeVar, the most notable Lonzo Ball, who is a rookie with the Los Angeles Lakers. This is something that has captured social media attention from last week into this week. There was a lot of concern that these players could end up in Chinese prison for up to 10 years, especially after they remained in China after the team left. The team went back to the United States, and they were still there. And it even became an international diplomatic issue, drawing comment from none other than U.S. President Donald Trump, who was coincidentally enough in China while this was going on. Now, here's what President Trump had to say.
The basketball players, by the way, I know a lot of people are asking. I will tell you, when I heard about it 2 days ago, I had a great conversation with President Xi. What they did was unfortunate. You know, you're talking about very long prison sentences. They do not play games. He was terrific, and they're working on it right now, and hopefully everything's going to work out. And I know they're very grateful because they were told exactly what happened. But it's a very, very rough situation with what happened to them. And I was with him. Yes, he is. And he's been terrific. President Xi has been terrific on that subject. But that was not a good subject. That was not something that should have happened.
Those comments coming on Air Force One, the presidential plane, as Trump was flying back from his 12-day Asia trip, saying that it was very unfortunate, but saying that he did speak to the Chinese president about it, and hoping that those players would be able to get home, hoping that everything would work out. Well, Trump's hopes that everything would work out actually became a reality yesterday when those three players were released by the Chinese government and got to fly back to the United States. They are now back in Los Angeles, touching down last night. So fans are quite glad they're back, still joking about the incident. Still a lot of, you know, there's always jokes on social media, especially when it's someone like LiAngelo Ball, whose family has been so outspoken. His father has said his kids are the best and nobody can beat them. So it's a little bit of karma coming that he got caught shoplifting, even though his father said he's one of the greatest players ever. And even President Trump weighing in after the players got back, he tweeted out just today, "Do you think that the three UCLA basketball players will say, 'Thank you, President Trump'? They were headed for 10 years in jail." Mm. So President Trump alluding to the fact that he maybe spoke with the Chinese president, maybe tried to use some diplomatic prowess to try to get them released. Not clear if that was the case. Still a lot of details yet to come in this story. We don't know exactly why they were released, if it was because of the U.S. government's involvement, if it was because they're high-profile college basketball players. That all remains to be seen. And while the players are home and that part of the story is over, the drama isn't over yet, not just because we need those answers and we're still trying to figure out and piece together the story, but because there are calls for those players to be punished by UCLA for this shoplifting incident. Some are even suggesting that the players be suspended from college basketball for the entire year, that they get benched for the whole season because of this alleged shoplifting. So we're going to see what UCLA does. We're going to see what the NCAA does, the College Sports Administration, to see if they hand down any punishments. Certainly, I expect to see them serve at least, a few-game suspension because of this. Whether it goes into next year or even the next season remains to be seen.
Certainly a high-profile diplomatic sports incident, Andrew. You also have the popularity of basketball in China. Maybe that factored into their release. Basketball, the most popular team sport in China. I read one report recently that 320 million or so Chinese play basketball. I remember Yao Ming being such a huge presence. So maybe that also helped their case in getting back to the States.
It may have. And 320 million is nearly the population of the United States. So imagine every single man, woman, and child in the United States playing basketball. That would be pretty amazing. Gives you an idea of the scope of how many people are playing over there. But keep in mind, too, that the two teams that were over there, UCLA and Georgia Tech, they were there to kick off the college basketball season in China. And so I wonder if that maybe played a part in it, too. If there's a partnership between China and the NCAA in college basketball, that they don't want to sour that relationship, especially because basketball is so popular. They might want to continue to have teams come back and play college basketball games or preseason games in China. So they may want to make things a little smooth and try to keep things from feathers from getting ruffled, if you will, to keep that relationship going. So that may have played a part in as well. And of course, the money, always with sports, there is the money factor. College athletics is a big money maker. And so that may have played into it as well. But we'll have to see. I'm sure those answers will come out. And when they do, we will have them here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, indeed. We'll wait and see whether those players face more disciplinary action. What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, here's a name that's been trending that maybe our listeners don't know, and I honestly didn't know this name until I read his story. Kianoush Rustami, He made headlines last year after he won gold in weightlifting at the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio, representing his country of Iran. But after an earthquake hit parts of Iraq and Iran earlier this week, killing hundreds of people, Rustami's back in the headlines using his athletic achievements to do some good. Because Rustami has announced, Sonny, that he is auctioning off his gold medal from the 2016 Olympic Games to raise money for earthquake recovery in his country. In a post on Instagram, he said he considers it his duty to help his countrymen and countrywomen any way he can. And he adds that his gold medal really isn't his. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the people of his country. So he is getting praise from fans across the internet saying what a selfless act this is. True class act and a true show of his character. And it shows that he's a champion even beyond the world of sports. He's a champion for his country and a champion for doing what's right. So no word yet if the Olympics are going to step in. I imagine that someone is going to try to help him keep his medal and maybe donate a sum of money and say, you know what, keep the medal. Or maybe somebody will buy it at the auction and say, you know what, you keep it. I'm just going to donate the money. That would be a nice move. But so far, he is putting his greatest athletic achievement on the line, all to help his country.
And speaking of countries, Andrew, Australia became the 31st country to qualify for next year's World Cup on Wednesday. I'm guessing maybe the Socceroos are trending in the sports world right now.
Oh, they are indeed. There's a lot of excitement. As we mentioned yesterday, a lot of teams that we are not used to seeing in the World Cup, teams that maybe have not had success in the past, hoping they can make a run at it with teams like the Netherlands and Italy and the USA out of the running. They're hoping that they can go quite far. And the Socceroos are among them. We're going to see tonight, I believe, is the final matchup will determine the 32nd team to make the World Cup draw. So we're, I think all eyes are going to be on that. And then the prognosticating starts, Sonny, about the draw and who's going to play who, when, where, what. All of those things are going to continue unabated until 2018 in Russia.
So either Peru or New Zealand will claim that 32nd and final berth for next year's World Cup in Russia. So we'll wait and see whether they'll be celebrating in Lima or maybe celebrating in Wellington. I think that's where the Kiwis will be would be celebrating if they win.
Yes, so, it's a pretty small island there, so it's not a lot of room to celebrate, but I'm sure they will be for sure.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we've talked about Colin Kaepernick quite frequently on the show. It's a name that I'm sure our listeners know. It all began a couple years ago, these NFL protests with Colin Kaepernick, who was then the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Kaepernick might be the most talked about athlete in U.S. sports who doesn't currently have a job. And that itself has been a point of contention, saying that he hasn't been hired in the NFL because of his protests, because of race and other issues. Since he's first started kneeling with the protest, other players have picked it up. It's become a phenomenon in U.S. sports and really U.S. culture, transcending the National Football League into other sports leagues as well. And for all those reasons and all that attention, Kaepernick is being named Citizen of the Year by GQ Magazine, Gentleman's Quarterly Magazine. And just like every other element of these NFL protests, this has divided the internet. People saying that Kaepernick doesn't deserve this honor, that he's protesting against America, which is a point of contention that people have talked about, patriotism. Other people noting that even though he doesn't have a job, he's taken $1 million of his money to devote it to community causes and groups. So they're saying he has been a great citizen, showing that you have the First Amendment right to free speech. The article, I don't believe, quotes Kaepernick at all. He wasn't interviewed for the article, so no word from him yet. But he is the GQ Citizen of the Year for all of his work in social justice in the National Football League and beyond.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has announced that pending consultation with Congress, the United States will provide up to $60 million to support a promising and developing regional counterterrorism effort in the Sahel. The assistance will support activities for a joint counterterrorism force that the group of five G5 Sahel states, Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania, and Niger, agreed to set up earlier this year to fight terrorist and violent extremist groups such as Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, ISIS, and associated groups. In a statement, Secretary Tillerson said, defeating terrorism depends on making sure terrorist organizations cannot have safe havens on any continent. This is a fight we must win, and these funds will play a key role in achieving that mission. He went on to say that this pledge will bolster our regional partners in their fight to ensure security and stability in the face of ISIS and affiliated groups and other terrorist networks. In remarks at a Security Council briefing on peace and security in Africa, U.S. Representative to the United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley spoke of the violence that has spread across the Sahel. Not only from terrorists, but from criminals who traffic in drugs and human beings, seeking to profit from the chaos in the region. She praised the men and women of the armed forces of the G5 Sahel countries, as well as the UN peacekeepers who are serving in the world's most dangerous peacekeeping mission in Mali. Ambassador Haley promised that the United States will continue its long-standing bilateral support to the G5 members' security forces. Speaking of the new pledge of up to $60 million for the Joint Counterterrorism Force through bilateral assistance, she noted that the force will need ongoing support and that the United States is eager for opportunities to work closely with its partners to make the effort a successful one. Ambassador Haley emphasized, however, that the G5 force must be first and foremost owned by the countries of the region themselves. We expect, she said, that the G5 countries will take on full regional ownership of the force within a period of 3 to 6 years, with continued U.S. engagement. This is the approach that will be most effective in the end, in freeing the region from terror. We welcome this regional ownership of security and stabilization in the Sahel, said Ambassador Haley, and we will continue to stand with the people of the region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
That AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.